Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. I'll be reading two sections in your hearing. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And then hold your finger at James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You're not in this thing by yourself. One of the reasons why our temptations are common is, as you will find out in more detail in a few minutes, is because our temptations come from oftentimes natural, normal desires. They only come perverted desires when we try to accomplish something in an evil way or contrary to God's will. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. James chapter 1, verses 13, focus right here. That's very, all the moving around is very, very much a distraction, so you need to be still. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, reads thusly, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I cannot think of a more needed passage of Scripture and a more needed series of messages than this series for the church today and people who claim to be followers of Christ. So please take heed. It is a matter of victory or failure, a matter really of life and death. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your holy word this morning. Help us to indeed hide it in our hearts. It is it goes with what we're doing in this Bible study. Because without the hiding of your holy word in our hearts, we're not going to have the ammunition necessary to stand against the temptations we face. So grant us your grace, the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to hide your holy word in our hearts. And help us to obey your holy word. And help us to not yield to the temptations that we all have as Christians, because it would bring nothing but problems and death to our lives and to our families, to our ministries, to our businesses, whatever the case might be. For as the old saying goes, sin will take you further than you want it to go, keep you longer than you want it to stay, and make you pay more than you want it to pay. And so, Holy Father God, all of us who have been saved a while have been burnt by temptation and yielding to temptation and suffering the consequences of sin. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your loving, chastening hand that whipped us back into shape, got us back in line. And we have said collectively and individually, I bet you I won't do that again. So thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your love and grace, and help us to learn from your holy word to not yield to temptation, but follow your way of escaping. For your glory, praise, and honor, in Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Walbert, Dr. Walbert and Dr. Zook of Dallas Theological Seminary said in their famous commentary these words by way of introduction: James offered a sharp rebuke to those who find an easy excuse for their sinning. I'm reminded of a series of messages that Dr. John McNeil Jr., a very humble, godly preacher from Fort Valley, Georgia. He preached a series simply titled "Stop Your Christian, Stop Your Sinning." We ran it in one of our publications. Christian, stop your sinning. And we ought to also stop our lying about our sinning. Trying to blame God, trying to blame our parents, trying to blame others. Back in the back. See if what he's holding is where it should be. Is it? Thumbs up. We need to stop lying on others. Stop lying on God. Foolishly saying that God is tempting me. God may test, but God never tempts with evil, because there's nothing in God that he would even be tempted with evil to tempt you with. So back to the quote, to free themselves from responsibility, they say, I am tempted by God or from God, denoting the origin, not merely the agency. James made it abundantly clear God cannot be tempted. There is nothing in God to which evil can make an appeal. Furthermore, he tempts no one. God often tests people, but he never tempts people. So you're talking foolishly when you tell God, God, you're tempting me. God, stop tempting me with evil. God can't do that. It's not in his nature to do that. It is in your nature to lust after things and desire after things in the wrong way. Back to the quote, the biological imagery is vivid. The lust or desire conceives, and from this conception sin is born. The unmentioned father, if you will, in the quote, is most certainly Satan. The grotesque child, sin, then matures and produces its own offspring, which is death. The steps are all too clear. Unchecked lust yields sin, and unconfessed sin brings death. Also, Dr. one Wiersbe said, a temptation is an opportunity to accomplish a good thing in a bad way. I want you to get this. As I mentioned earlier, the reason why some of our temptations are so common, are common to all mankind, is because they come from regular, normal desires that we pervert and try to do it in the wrong way, and then that makes it sin. One Wiersbe said, a temptation is an opportunity to accomplish a good thing in a bad way, out of the will of God. Is it wrong to want to pass an examination? Of course not. But if you cheat to pass it, then you have sinned against God. The temptation to cheat is an opportunity to accomplish a good thing. Passing the examination, that is, in a bad way. Therein lies the sin. Do you want to pass your biology exam? Of course. Do you want to look on somebody else's paper and copy the answers while you're taking the test? Of course not. If you want to avoid sin. So sin, temptation comes out of oftentimes what people would call natural or normal desires. But then we pervert it and do it in the wrong way, and therein lies the sin and the yielding to the temptation. It is not wrong to eat. And as you know, we're in a long series on gluttony. There's nothing wrong with eating. There's nothing wrong with the desire to eat. But if you consider stealing the food, you are tempting, you are yielding to the temptation to do evil. The word lust means any kind of desire, and not necessarily sexual passions. The normal desires of life were given to us by God and of themselves are not sinful. Without these desires, we could not function. Unless we felt hunger and thirst, we would never eat and drink, and we would die. Without feeling fatigue, I don't know about you, but around 10 o'clock at night, I start feeling sleepy. Something happens. But without feeling that way, the body would never rest and would eventually wear out. Sex is a normal, God-given desire. Without it, the human race could not continue. It is when we want to satisfy these desires in ways outside God's will that we get into trouble. Can somebody say amen? Eating is normal. Gluttony is sin. Sleep is normal. Laziness is sin. Marriage is normal and honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge who are having sex outside of the marriage bed. So, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Some serious background information about this passage that ought to help you to understand it better. And so, beloved, in this passage, James gives us a clear path from lust to sin, and from sin to death, both spiritual death and physical death. That's how destructive sin is. Lust is a strong desire, impulse, or craving. Grant Richardson writes, there is enormous power in a lustful thought. The Christian must deal with sin at the point of temptation, not at the point where we choose to sin. Once we choose to open ourselves to sin, the overt action of sin is almost inevitable. None of us can avoid temptation. It is not a sin to be tempted, but it is a sin to yield to temptation. That's why we sung the song today, "Yield Not to Temptation," for yielding is sin. Evil ideas will birth in our minds until we go to meet the Savior, unfortunately. I've asked my older preachers, 20, 10, 20, 30, 40 years older than I am, will it ever end, the temptations? And they say, "Preacher, no, it will never end." The internet, movies, and television that many of us watch, and some ought not to watch at all. I know one preacher who had a business that he needed online. But because he was tempted always to go to pornography, he got rid of his computer, got rid of the internet on his computer. And so for him to do business, we have to run him down to get him to do certain things for us. He just could not have it in the house. For many years, after I got saved, when I first got saved, I got rid of the television. So I would imagine 25 years out of almost 40 years, I did not have a television. Every Thanksgiving, I would rent one to watch the Thanksgiving football games and enjoy the different shows that come on around that time. And sometime then I got to the point where I would keep it through Christmas and everything. And so in my formative Christian years, I did not have a television. And so God has given me the liberty to have one now, and I can handle it. But I'm glad that I did not have one for 25-plus years. My children were not raised on television, and right now they have no desire for television. And that's good. But the internet, movies, and television today present great temptation to many believers. And there are some Christians who ought not to have the internet in their home. If you're one of the Christians who struggle with pornography, and no matter what that word porn comes into your mind, or some special porn site comes to your mind, you just can't help yourself, and you, every time you sit in front of a computer, that's what comes to your mind, nothing good comes to your mind, then maybe you need to not have the internet. And there are programs that you can put on your computer to block all of that, by the way. However, there are some devilish people who can figure out how to get around it. And you got some smart, devilish children who can do it as well. So you need to watch your children, lest their minds get fried and destroyed on pornography. We have more rape in our culture now because devilish, demonically driven, porn-hungry men see women not as a valuable wife to have in the future, but as a piece of meat that they can use for their lust. Lust comes charging into our minds through these vehicles and many others. It comes unexpectedly and quickly. And, of course, you got many people who don't need television, the internet, or anything else. Their minds have been dipped into hell. Their hearts are filled with evil, just themselves. Those influences combine with our natural fleshly lusts, creating a potent cocktail of temptation. However, we must not yield to it. If we yield to temptation and sin, the Bible tells us that sin, when it is finished, brings forth death every time. The Greek word translated as finished means fully grown. Sin is a living thing. It may begin as a small little infant in our lives, but if we don't stamp it out quickly, it will grow into a stubborn young adult, unwilling to change, and then finally an old adult, set in his or her ways. Have you ever been around folk like this, young folk who won't listen? Think they know it all, and they end up messing up their lives, messing up and squandering all of their education and what little money they could have had. And then an old adult, you can't tell anything, set in their ways. The saying is true, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And that's a fact. Sin that is allowed to fester and grow results in death every time, all day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Sin is a bad boy. Sin will take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and make you pay more than you wanted to pay. Go keep on messing with sin. Keep on yielding to temptation. For the believer, this means the quenching of the Holy Spirit's power in his life and the cutting off of his communion with God. Stephen Cole said, James shows that sin is never stationary. Never, 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 never. You can't control sin. It moves steadily in its course toward its ultimate hideous end, death. Every time, every day, all day, 24/7, sin is like a small crack in a dam. At first, it doesn't seem threatening. But if it is not repaired quickly, it can lead to the collapse of the entire dam, causing terrible destruction. So, dear friend, don't let your lust lead to temptation. Don't let temptation lead to sin. Don't let sin lead to death in your life. And I'm talking to Christians today, right now. And if you struggle with lust, as so many of us do, or any other sin, take this passage to heart and begin to use it the next time you face that temptation. And all God's people said, Amen. Holy Father God in heaven, Lord, we praise you and we thank you for the truth of your holy word. I pray that somehow you would help all of us to take heed to your holy word while we're living in these clay bodies. Help us to yield not to temptation. Help us to therefore not get into sin and experience death inside of our lives, not to mention the death that we will all experience because of the sins we've already committed and our forefathers have committed. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, lest we have death in our personal spiritual lives where we're dead and not revived, where we have death in our marriages, where the marriage is dead and going nowhere fast, death in our relationships with our other family members because of yielding to temptation. evil and sin and living in sin. For sin will divide us and separate us. Sin will destroy us in our families and in our churches and even on the job. Whatever the case and wherever the case, sin is destructive, far more destructive than Harvey, far more destructive than Irma, and far more destructive than Maria. So help us, Lord, to understand that and to live according to your holy word for your glory, praise, and honor, and for the lifting up of your holy Son, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. So, dear friend of mine, before I leave you and move on to the next service, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved," keep your head up, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou you shalt be saved. The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And dear friend, if you want to be saved today from hell, hell is the punishment of sin that you were tempted to do. And hell is forever. You say, "I don't understand that." It doesn't matter whether you understand it or whether I understand it. Everybody who does not trust Christ as Savior and continue in their sins will spend eternity in hell. That's the tragedy of temptation, and that is the tragedy of yielding to temptation and loving sin more than loving God. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Pray and ask him to save your soul. For Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, including yours. And all you have to do is believe in him, because he shed his precious blood on the cross for your sins, died, was buried, and rose again for you and for me. I'll be glad to lead you in what is commonly called the sinner's prayer. Please repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a sinner because I have broken your laws. I've lied before. I've cheated before. I've stolen before. I have lusted after beautiful women or a beautiful or handsome man that was not my wife or husband. Holy Father God, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins as I put my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away my sins. Because he shed his blood on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I believe in him. Lord, I don't understand it all, but I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life forever. Help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways, because I know that I still have these evil inclinations. I cannot live the Christian life without you. So fill me with your Holy Spirit to change and to repent of my sins past and to turn away from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from sin and hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture.